I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. We're about to have a conversation with Mike Williams, who contacted me earlier this week. And we've been going back and forth by email. He has written a play called Where Y'all At? That is going to be played in conjunction with the Johns Hopkins University Youth Violence Prevention Program at Coppin State University tomorrow night, Friday, June 17th, at the James Weldon Johnson Auditorium, 2500 West North Avenue. And you can call 443-208-6868 for additional information. And the curtain is at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. We'll give you that information at the end of our conversation. It'll be on our website as well. And Mike Williams, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Steiner.
Mark is fine.
Okay, Mark. Okay, that's good. Okay.
So this play is really about you, right?
Yes, sir.
Talk a bit about how this play came to be.
This play is an autobiography on my life growing up in the city of Baltimore on the west side. And this play came to be as a direct result of the youth violence that was going on in the Baltimore City Public School at that time, which was around 2005. And I think the statistics would show that there would be a spike in violence in inner city public schools, preferably Walbrook High School. And so I had already wrote a book, and I was thinking about how can I contribute to, helping what's going on out there in society. So I came up with an idea. I said, well, I'm going to write a play. And I talked to the chief of security at the institution at that time.
But you were incarcerated then, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I was incarcerated.
And you were incarcerated for how long?
9 years and 7 months.
Right.
Yeah. And I wrote the play, and I called it Where Y'all At? And the reason why I called it Where Y'all At was because of how the drug trade has a certain type of, element. And you know this element. One of the elements is that when people are coming to look for drugs, they ask you, where y'all at?
Uh-huh,
where you hitting at? You know, where's the drugs at? And also, it's a broader meaning because, as you see this play, you'll see, so many other elements revolving as a result of the drug trade. You'll see the violence. You'll see the guy in court, which is the judicial system. You'll see the mother. You'll see the, as I said, all the aspects and the ramifications that comes as a result of that drug culture.
So, Mike, this play that you're doing is, it's essentially a couple of things. It's one, it's your story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
As a young man being incarcerated and what you went through and your life on the street.
Yes.
And you're doing it because you want to help prevent this from happening to other people and try to put it out there to create a discussion in this community, right?
Right.
So tell us a bit about yourself, and when did you first come in contact with the criminal justice system in your own life?
February 24th, 1983 was my first incarceration. I was 13 years old.
13? What did you do then?
Me and a family member had pointed a gun at a lady walking down the street up in Emerson Village where I grew up on Wildwood Parkway. And I guess we attempted to rob her. And she screamed, and I ran, And she seen my mother up at the laundromat.
Well, she knew you.
No, she didn't, but she recognized my face, and me and my mother was at the laundromat. And she told my mother that she thinks that your son tried to rob me a couple of weeks ago.
Wow.
And then I had a fight with a neighbor across the street and some other guys that I knew had went up to the school and, try to fight him and some violence happened. So as a result of that, the police came to my house, questioned me about that. And at that time, my father just had enough. I was not arrested or anything. And my father had me put away.
Because of that incident?
Because of that incident, the other incidents, and just my ongoing rebellion around the house, doing a lot of destructive things. I started becoming destructive early on.
What does it say to you about, I'm going to jump right back into the play, but what does it say to you, what does your life say to the rest of the world about how we should perceive young people who get caught up like that? Do you know what I'm saying? And we're sitting here across from each other. You've done this time, and you wrote this play to try to bring people an understanding of what life is about on the street
mm-hmm.
from a man who's been through it.
Mm-hmm.
But what is that? What do we say to the rest of the world about the 13-year-old Mike Williams and the hundreds of 13-year-old Mike Williams that are out there in the street now?
What do we say to? I think that, you know,
but who they are, what's inside them, why this is happening, what we can do to intervene so it doesn't happen to them.
I said that number one, we need to engage them. We need to engage them, and engaging them is in the areas that they find attractive. And some of the areas that they find attractive are destructive, but one of the areas that they find attractive is hip-hop. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
They love rap.
You did. You do.
I do, but not this rap today.
Right.
Old school rap.
Old school, I got you.
Yeah, old school rap.
Right.
But they still like music. They still like rap. And you find that a lot of the drug dealers today, the 13-year-olds and, you know, the ones that are coming up, they are attracted to rap. So my thinking is that how do we get the message across? And this is goes back to the play.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get the message across? How do you sneak it in? How do you sneak this information in, this mentoring information, this positive information? You got to put it in a form that they might accept it. And so they accept rap. Now, this is not rap, but it's music involved in this play. It's rap music mm-hmm. involved in this play. And so my thinking is that the theater, the stage, if we can get urban youth attracted to the stage,
uh-huh.
it may become a big outlet like hip-hop did for many other urban youth.
So quick question, I'll come right back to the play. Mm-hmm. I think what you're saying is really powerful and important about the role of theater to transform lives and to bring social justice to a world. I think it does play that role.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were a kid at 13, could someone have intervened and turned you around, do you think?
To be honest with you, Mark, it's hard to say because
right,
I was
right,
so
right.
bent. I was so bent on doing what I wanted to do. And, you know, so the question is, you know, what's going on in their minds? There's a lot of factors going on. Pre-childhood events that goes on in children's lives. You know, one of them, you know, the poverty level.
Right.
The ignorance level. You know, and now
the lure of the streets.
Exactly.
It says the streets themselves is a drug. They're a drug. They're seductive.
Exactly. So when you look at when you try to understand the youth today, you have to look at my generation and the generation before me. But I think that it's really my generation that created what we see today, because when you look at, like, for instance, The Wire.
Right.
Or, you know, these other shows. We know that really this culture really started really getting out of control in the mid-70s. I was born in 69. It wasn't open-air drug markets in 69.
No.
So you're talking about a 41 year. I'm 41 years old, so you're talking about, you know, 69, the early 70s, the war. We came back. Vietnam was over, like you talked about. And then you've seen this onslaught or this beginning, this epidemic arising. And so really, like I said, my generation from right the 1980s on up to now is when you really seen the explosion in the open-air drug markets. And what they did, they made it more available to poor people.
And you became part of that world.
Part of that world.
Because it was your world.
Yes, it was.
So talk about what this play does. What did you do in this play? This play, where are you all at? Which I love the idea of how you title it, because, as you said, that's the nomenclature. That's the language of the street when you're looking for drugs. Where are you all at? So right. Talk a bit about this play, what you did with it.
The play is, it starts off 15-year-old boy. He's on his way to a party, and by this time he had already been in juvenile detention twice.
As you had.
Right, and by this time he had already been shot at 12.
Wow.
So, and by this time he had already taken his first snort of heroin. So, you know, by this time he wasn't engulfed into the culture, but he was already tainted. So the play basically depicts this guy, and it goes through the whole spiral of his life. But the points at the end of each scene, the points of, you know, at the end of each scene actually shows you or try to convey the message of, it shows you the negative and the positive. The negative and the positive.
And this is a play you wrote while you were doing your time.
Yes.
That 9.5 year bit that you did.
Yes.
And you took it out from under your prison bed, finished it, and brought it home.
Yes.
So how did you go from coming out of the joint to getting this play to the people? Like, you're showing it at Coppin tomorrow night.
Right.
How did that happen?
Faith, number one, and determination, number two. Faith and determination, it was my goal, number one, to just get a high school in the institution. That was the only goal for this play, just to get a high school in the institution, which was Walbrook High School. We never got Walbrook in, but we did get Dundalk High School in, and we got LaMelle Middle School in twice.
What do you mean, get them in?
Got them into the institution to come and see the play.
Oh, you brought students in actually to see the play at when you were at the place. Where was that? At Jessup?
Maryland Correctional Institute, Jessup.
Up in, oh, Jessup.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So we did have three schools to come in, other civic organizations, churches, and we had only done it two times for the inmate population out of the 4 years that we had been doing the play. So we had only done it twice for the inmates.
So the actors, when you were doing it then, were obviously guys who were doing time.
Exactly. All inmates. All male inmates.
Wow.
And so we started there, and I made parole in 2009. Mm-hmm. Our first production was at Poly High School, Dr. Barney Wilson.
Oh, yeah. I know Barney very well. Good guy.
Yeah. And then we went to Lake Clifton. We partnered with Unchained Talent.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Chris Youngston. Yeah.
Good group.
Yeah, exactly.
Good group.
And
yeah.
Then we partnership with the Health Department, the City of Baltimore, and Johns Hopkins for Youth Violence Prevention Week.
Philly's program.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And after that, now we at Coppin. So Coppin was on the agenda while I was in prison. And so even last night, you know, I actually didn't get a lot of sleep, you know, just up crying because I can't believe that I – then went from prison to Coppin.
That's great.
With this play. I can't believe it.
So but this is your world right now. This is your passion. This is what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
And you believe about the power of theater to transform what?
To transform psychic.
Mm-hmm.
To transform your psychic, you know, your thinking. Mm-hmm. Because you can it's using the arts to send a message. You know, people send messages in many different forms. As I said, you know, hip hop is an outlet of expression. But the theater is an outlet of expression also. It's just that for me, this is my observation,
right.
A lot of inner city at risk African Americans, male and females, are not really attracted to the stage. And why is that?
Because this is a world that's not their world.
Right, but we can make it their world.
Right, right.
And so, you know, these same African Americans, male and female, in that, you know, in that age group, they are attracted to rap, though.
Right. So you mix rap in with this
absolutely,
production.
Absolutely. That's what makes it. Once they come and see it, once the youth come and see it, then they change their whole concept. But me just saying a play, they get kind of turned off a little bit.
So do you have discussions with the audience once the play is done?
Yes,
is that what happens after the play?
Yes, sir. We normally, in the institution, that's what we would do, question and answer, you know, and fortunately we had a lot more time and it was more settled in the institution compared to when you're doing the plays out here, because a lot of people, they see the play and they're ready to go and they rush. But God willing, Friday evening we will definitely have a panel of people that will discuss about the play, about their personal lives,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, this culture has affected them, as well as we want to generate some questions and answers from the audience.
This can be very powerful. So I know that you're working with the Johns Hopkins Center.
Yes, sir.
To get this thing out. And and you have you've done your rehearsals, and the even the card you have on here that promotes it is a very powerful piece. You've got the justice symbol. You've got the cemetery. You've got the money. You've got a man's arms coming through the bars, hot car. I mean, you've got it all here. Kind of say this is the world we're talking about.
Yeah, and to speak on that, and I can honestly say that, you know, my logic was, you know, I didn't go get a whole lot of flyers. I went and got 900 flyers because it seats 975. And I myself, along with the cast, you know, strategically gave out these flyers. We just didn't put them on the bench and just put them here. We strategically gave out these flyers, and the response that I receive every time I give someone a flyer, when they look at it, I walk away and I can turn around and I'll see them still looking at the flyer as they keep walking. So I know it's definitely, the image is definitely there.
And so this is, you're gonna see, they can buy tickets to the door?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. They can do that. They can come to, they can get in by the door.
And it'll be the same price that it is, yeah, right now.
This is exciting, man. I can't wait to see this play. And can't wait to have more dialogue with you about the work that you're doing. The idea of bringing theater as the vehicle to turn our young people around and bring them into a different world. And your experience of being incarcerated all that many years and coming out to do this play is very powerful. We're talking with Mike Williams. The play is Where Are You All At? Played by Michael Williams in conjunction with the Johns Hopkins University Youth Violence Prevention Program. It'll be tomorrow night at Coppin State University at the James Weldon Johnson Auditorium, 2500 West North Avenue. You can call 443-208-6868. That information will be on our website as well. Doors open at 6, curtains at 7. Where Y'all At is a play that looks into Baltimore's notorious drug trade and how a young man at age of 15 became involved into this culture of destruction. There's a meet and greet after the play. And since this man who wrote the play, it's his life, Michael Williams, Where Y'all At, tomorrow night at Coppin State, 7 p.m., so be there. And Michael Williams, it's been an honor to meet you, man, for what you're doing to help turn things around. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show. Public Radio, WEAA, 88.9 FM. The voice of the community. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short break. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538.